Today on Real Life Radio.
Somebody might say today, I can't believe in an invisible Christ. Well, why not? And how do you know he's invisible anyway? Doesn't he touch your life through other people? Without an invisible Christ, there'll be no help from other people.
This is Real Life. Welcome to Real Life Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible.
Hey friends, do you need help facing a crisis with confidence? What about understanding your emotions, dealing with depression? When you just can't take it anymore, does that sound familiar? Well, my friend Dr. Ed Heinsohn has written a book called Trusting God When Times Are Tough. This is a great book, much needed for times like these. Get a copy for yourself. You might want to get a copy for your friend. He covers so many wonderful topics that you and I deal with every day. And from a great theologian who's now with Jesus Christ, but before he went to see the Lord, he gave us a great life example and great books like this one. Get your own copy for yourself, Trusting God When Times Are Tough.
That's Trusting God When Times Are Tough by Dr. Ed Heinsohn. For a limited time, Real Life Ministries is offering this exceptional book as a thank you for your generous donation. Add Trusting God When Times Are Tough to your library by supporting Real Life today. Get it for a gift of any amount at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
On today's edition of Real Life Radio, Pastor Jack now continues his series called The Gospel of Luke with a message titled, You and a Judas, Part 2. You know, the Gospel of Luke series is one that gives us both the humanity and the divinity of Jesus, as only Luke, the physician, could do. Here now, we'll continue in chapter 22, and we'll consider the difference between a Christian and a Judas. You see, we've previously learned how a Christian follows Jesus. A Christian takes their faith seriously and understands the price of following Jesus, but a Judas is too weak and easily led. So today, Pastor Jack teaches that a Christian continues on, but a Judas slips away. A Christian humbles himself, but a Judas wants to be in control. A Christian receives God's mercy, but a Judas rejects it, often to the point of no return. Now with his message called You and a Judas, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
John 15:3 says, as Jesus spoke to the disciples, you are already clean because of the word which I've spoken to you. Isn't that beautiful? That's right. This Thanksgiving, when you go this week and from this time forth, start speaking like Jesus speaks. Start speaking life to people. Say, well, Pastor, I've got a relative or I have a friend who's living a terrible life. They're godless and they're going to die in their sins. Then do you really care about them, really? Then listen, buy them a cup of coffee. Take them out. Take them for a walk and tell them, listen, you may never talk to me again. Look, I'm going to tell you something, which I've done many times. Listen, the reason why we're here right now, you may never speak to me again. I give you free opportunity to get up and leave at any time with what I'm about to tell you. And what I'm about to tell you is a big deal. It's heavy. Well, all of a sudden, they're totally prepared. What is it? You tell them, listen, I've been praying for you for a long time. And you know, I know, other people know that you've been doing this, this, or this. And I am not to judge you. The Bible says I'm to look at the fruit of your life, but I cannot judge you. Only God judges you. But the Bible does say that if you keep living like this, you will wind up lost from God. And I just want you to know, again, you'll never talk to me again, I'm sure, after this, but Jesus died on the cross, rose again from the dead. He wants to forgive you of your sins, but you love your sins more than you love God, and you're in trouble, and I'll always be there for you. And if you want to leave right now, go ahead and leave. I've never had anyone get up and leave. But if you love them, you got to tell them. Why? Because he alone has the words of eternal life. Judas doesn't care about that stuff. Judas is looking at his watch right now. He's wondering, when's this guy going to be quiet so I can get out of here? The Bible? Buy a Bible and read it? Why would I want to do that? That's how Judas thinks. Hey, what's in it for me? Very serious. See, a Judas says things and does things like this. Mark 14:10. Then Judas Iscariot, one of the 12, went to the chief priest to betray Jesus to them. And when they heard it, they were glad. Can you imagine what they thought? What a dope! This guy that's in the inner circle with Jesus wants to betray him. Boy, this is fantastic. And they promised to give him money. So he sought how he might, Judas sought how he might conveniently betray him. That word means that he was stalking for the moment. Point number 8, the difference between you and a Judas is this. You've humbled yourself. You've humbled yourself to know the Lord. You've humbled yourself to be here today. You've humbled yourself to say, I don't want to live my life for myself. I want God to live his life in and through me. Verse 47 goes on. He who was called Judas, one of the 12, went before them, that is the crowd that he was leading out to Jesus, and drew near to Jesus to kiss him. Number 1, look at it. Judas took the lead. Number 2, he got really close. Number 3, this is sickening, he kissed Jesus. Is there any record in the New Testament of any other disciple kissing Jesus? I can't think of one. To be so close to him. And how do you kiss someone on the cheek like that? How do you do that? First of all, Judas is leading the crowd of betrayal. He gets up there close enough. Okay, so he somehow maneuvers all of the security and all of the ushers that Jesus must have. He gets right up there and he kisses, and no one thinks anything's wrong. It kind of leads you to think that Judas seemed to have almost an inside track to Jesus. No one freaked out. Peter didn't say, hey, you weirdo, get away from him. None of that. With a kiss. What a betrayal. At some point in time, the scale tipped in Judas's life and he had gone too far. Church, did you know that's true in the lives of human beings today? You can say no. Listen, right now today, you might be saying no to Jesus. I will not become a Christian. I will not believe that Jesus died and rose again from the grave for my sins. I will not let him be God in my life. I will not let him be the Lord of my life. I will not trust him for my eternal life. No, I don't need forgiveness. No. You can say that today, and you might be still okay, meaning there may be hope for you still. Or you may be here today, and this is the last day you'll ever hear it. Did you know that there's literally a moment in time when God says, that's it, and the scale of reason and of logic, are you guys watching? Watch my hands. This is the person's brain. This is their thinking. This is their thought process. Literally, there comes a point in time based upon the book of Romans chapter 1 that a person says no to God the last final time. And it goes like this. Their logic and thinking tips. Boom! All to one side. And God says, that is a reprobate mind. God says, I give it over to their own desires, their own self. God says, I give them over to what they want. Do you remember when Pharaoh, the Bible says that Pharaoh hardened his heart? And then it says, then God hardened Pharaoh's heart? God didn't harden Pharaoh's heart until Pharaoh hardened his own heart. Do you remember when Noah was building the ark for how many years? 120 years. Building the ark, preaching the gospel, says the New Testament, Noah did. Until the day Noah entered the ark. What happened? Everybody who was left outside the ark, the scale tipped. When you make this one final decision, you've said it all your life, but now this moment's different. You say no to Jesus. Tragic. In Luke chapter 22, verse 2, Luke 22, 2, it says, and the chief priests and the scribes sought how they might kill Jesus, for they feared the people. Then Satan entered Judas, possessed him, who was numbered among the 12. And so he went his way and conferred with the chief priest how he might betray Jesus. I'm going to ask you to write this down. And I think it's powerful. Judas is doing this for money. Maybe fame, maybe fortune, I don't know. Maybe something, I don't know, but certainly for the money. But the question comes into our lives, what are we doing? What are our motives? And I want you to hear this. Listen, what we withhold from God can never be ours. Think of that. What we withhold from God can never be ours. And what we take from God, we can never own. I want you to think about that for a moment. What is Judas doing? We know from the Gospels, we'll read about it in a moment, he robbed the ministry of its money. The Bible said he did. We'll read it in a second here. So he robbed the ministry. He took it to himself. Okay? He tried to create his own life, his own world. He lived his life for himself. So think about that. What we withhold from God, meaning I'm not going to give my life to God, my life, and the things that surround my life, my attention, my energy, my affections, my ministry, time, money. I'm not going to give that to God. I'm going to withhold it from God. Well, guess what? It can never be yours. You say, are you silly? I have millions of dollars in the bank. And you don't have to have millions of dollars in the bank to be withholding from God. You can be a poor person withholding a nickel from God. It's equally bad. It's his. And so you're withholding, thinking, I've got it now. And the truth is, it can never really be yours. How do we enjoy and obtain and truly become rich? The truth is, by taking everything that you and I have and giving it back to him in heart or in deed. To understand that God owns the clothes you're wearing right now. Can he not bring a worm to eat my clothes this week? Huh? Honestly. There's nothing that you and I have that God didn't give to us. But then when God says, you know what? It's kind of like occupying a big place in your heart. Give it to me. Oh no, I'm going to hold on to it. Well, guess what? The only way to keep it is if you give it back to me. But seeing how you're going to hang on to it, it will never really be yours. And what we take from God, as Judas knows, can never be owned. The Christian thinks this way. In Romans 10, verse 9, if you confess with your mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, listen, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession's made to salvation. For the scripture says, whoever believes on him will never be put to shame. Wow. What's he saying? Stop protecting your life. Give it to God and find eternal life. A Judas thinks this way. John 12, verse 6. John 12, 6 says, this Judas said, not that he cared for poor people or for the poor, but because he was a thief and he had the money box. And he used to take what was put in it. You guys, that's John chapter 12. Remember that. What we withhold from God can never be ours. And what we take from God, we can never own.
You're listening to Real Life with Pastor Jack Hibbs. You know, to hear more episodes and maybe catch up in the series, just go to jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. And for now, let's get back to our teaching. Once again, here's Pastor Jack.
Malachi 3:8 says, will a man rob God? Yet you have robbed me. But you say, in what way have we robbed you? God responds, in tithes and offerings. You are cursed with a curse, for you have robbed me, even this whole nation. Bring all the tithes into the storehouse, that you may be, or that there may be food in my house. And try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts, if I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will be not be room enough to receive it, and I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes. That means God's going to take care of you against all odds, so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. Wow. Wow, that's powerful. Number 9, the difference between you and a Judas is that you've received his mercy. Judas rejects it. Look at verse 48. But Jesus said to him, this is a huge but, or a huge, that didn't sound right, but this is a huge, that word, you have to circle the word but. It is a very, very meaningful, gigantic declaration statement. Why? This is amazing. I don't get it. Come on, put yourself in Jesus' sandals for a minute. Now, Judas is the betrayer. Would you have done what Jesus did? I would not have done what Jesus is doing. Jesus turns to Judas, and that word but right there is Jesus making a statement, giving him an invitation for Judas to consider one more time. You sure you want to do this? Are you sure you want to do this? You guys, isn't this amazing? If I were Jesus, I would have said, you rat, you stinking lowlife, bum, friend of Satan, slithering, thieving pork chop. Jesus said, when it says, but he said to him, it's in contrast, Judas, are you sure you want to continue on with your path? Man, amazing mercy, amazing. He rejects it. He rejects the mercy of God. The Christian, on the other hand, in Hebrews 4:16 and Jude 21, Hebrews 4:16 and Jude 21, listen to this. Let us therefore come boldly to the throne of grace that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. Jude 21, keep yourselves in the love of God, looking for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ unto eternal life. Mercy. Mercy. Wow. Mercy is not getting from the hand of God what you deserve. Grace is getting what you don't deserve in the positive. Grace is God giving you stuff that you don't deserve. Mercy is God saying, no, 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 no. No, don't give that to Jack. He deserves it. He deserves a spanking. But give him an ice cream cone. Mercy, then comes grace. Jesus is extending mercy. Judas doesn't care. If you're a Judas today, you don't care about God's mercy. You think you operate fine without it. You don't need it. You're pretty impressed with yourself, actually. You wish other people could be just like you. Acts 28:27 says, for the hearts of these people have hardened and their ears cannot hear and they have closed their eyes so their eyes they cannot see and their ears cannot hear and their hearts cannot understand and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. How does a person get to hell? How does Judas wind up in hell this morning? It was very hard, actually, to get to hell. It is hard to get to hell. You have to every day reject that still small voice that's speaking to you, and you have to tell him every day, I will not believe in you. Your heart becomes hardened. It's your decision. And number 10, we end with this. The difference between you and the Judas is that you've seen your need for him, but a Judas gets whatever he wants. And this is tough. But Jesus said to him, Judas, are you betraying? The word in Greek is you are in the act, aren't you? You're actually doing it now. The Son of Man with a kiss. This is amazing. The word betraying here in Greek means, are you surrendering up? Listen, are you casting off from you the Son of Man? Are you surrendering the Son of Man? Are you hazarding the Son of Man? The word means, are you imprisoning the Son of Man? Are you going to put him in jail? And he's not talking about physical jail. Judas, have you put the Son of God in jail in your heart, in a compartment where he's locked away? Judas, have you cast him out? This is a very tender thing. We don't have the time to develop this. But Jesus is saying to Judas's heart, Is this what you want to do for real? You want to put me in a box and put me in the corner? Don't you understand? You're destroying your life. Don't you get it? Can you imagine, you guys? God forbid. I pray everybody in here is a professing true blue Christian today. Can you imagine though if somebody in this room is not and they reject this invitation to know Jesus today and they wind up and you have to stand before God and Jesus says to you, I tried to get a hold of your attention. I cried out to you. I did everything I could to get you to hear me all your life. Remember that time on the vacation when you fell off the cliff and that tree was there? That tree wasn't even there until the moment you slipped and I put it there so you could grab it. And you rejected me. Remember that time when the earth was shaken and that you said, oh God, help me, and your house is okay? That was me. Or how about this? Somebody might say today, I can't believe in an invisible Christ. Well, why not? And how do you know he's invisible anyway? Doesn't he touch your life through other people? C.S. Lewis writes in his book about the woman in the First World War, and she said, because there was an announcement in England, there's going to be a shortage on bread. There's going to be a shortage on bread. You know what she said? The woman said, it's not going to affect our home. And they said, why? And she goes, because we only eat toast. Without bread, there'll be no toast. Without an invisible Christ, there'll be no help from other people. And Judas says, I don't care. It's me, myself, and I. And that's all I need. Judas seemingly gets everything he wants, even the betrayal of Jesus Christ himself. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it's impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. See, do you need him today? Or are you like Judas? And then 1 Timothy 6:6 says, now godliness with contentment is great wealth. For we brought nothing into this world, and it is certain that we will carry nothing out. Don't you love that? Isn't the Bible so cool? You ever seen going down the freeway? You ever seen a hearse going down the freeway with a dead body in the back and a U-Haul trailer behind it with a guy's tennis rackets and stuff? See the guy in LA recently that was buried in his car? It was just this year. A guy was buried in his car because he loved his car. He had to buy like 7 plots and they buried him in his car. Where's he going? You're not taking it with you. Having food and clothing, with these we should be content. But those who desire to be rich, Judas, fall into temptation and a snare and into many foolish and harmful lusts, which drown men, Judas, in destruction and perdition. Ooh, that was his nickname, the son of perdition. For the love of money, not money, the love of it is the root to all kinds of evil, for which some have strayed, Judas did, from the faith in the greediness and pierced themselves through with many sorrows, with many sorrows. Well, church, listen. Thank God we're done with this portion of scripture and we move on soon. But as we conclude this here today, I tell you what, it is an amazing thing to realize as we go through the Bible, this Judas challenges our hearts. Is it Jesus? Is it all Christ? Is it our lives? And listen, not only does he possess everything that we have, do we recognize that? Have we let that to him and given it to him? And listen, does he have your soul? I want you to be thinking about this right now. Watch this. Does he have our soul? We can say it with our mouth, but in our time, church, are we spending more time investing in the things that don't matter? As we worship him now, I'm going to ask all of you this very important thing. If today you are being challenged in your heart, am I a Christian or am I Judas? Do I love God or do I love the things of this world? In a moment, when we're done with this song, I'm going to ask you to make a decision. I'm going to ask you to finally in your life say, as what the Bible says, Jesus said, you must be born again to enter the kingdom of heaven. Today you will say, Jesus, I believe you died on the cross and rose again for me, for my sins. You want to forgive me and I want to give my life to you, all of it.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Life Radio with his message called You and a Judas Part 2. Thanks for being here today. You know, this message is part of Pastor Jack's series called The Gospel of Luke. It's a series on the book of Luke and the unveiling of Jesus Christ to this world. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Life Radio. You know, when Pastor Jack was asking how confident you are in your salvation, were you able to give an answer? Do you really know without a doubt what it means to be saved? If you still have some questions regarding salvation, we can help. Simply go to our website, jackhibbs.com, and click on the tab there labeled Know God. That's the Know God tab. And when you do, you'll find out what it means to give your life to Jesus Christ. We're not here by accident, and you're not listening by accident. The Lord wants you to know who you are in Him so you can trust Him to lead you on the right path and rely on Him in all that you do. And be sure to let us know about your decision for Christ. We'd love to hear it. And if you have any questions or concerns, give us a call 877-777-2346. It's all right there at our website, jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Or on the Real Life app.
Looking for an inspiring way to pass some time? Or maybe just need some help to get through your workday? How about listening while you work? The Jack Hibbs Podcast brings you real stories, real people with real life experiences. From inspiring journeys to thought-provoking conversations, we've got it all. So discover a world of knowledge, laughter, and connection. The Jack Hibbs Podcast and so much more are available on our website at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com, where faith meets real life.
This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at jackhibbs.com. That's jackhibbs.com. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Life Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Life Radio.